Welcome back to Smell You Later.
Where the hell did I put that candle?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Welcome back to Smell You Later.
Tynan has misplaced his candle.
A gigantic candle.
So Tynan and I separately went to this Dies and Durga press preview for their holiday stuff.
If I work for you, no, I didn't.
This was out of office hours, so mind their own business.
You don't have office hours. Mine was fully
yes,
in office hours.
Yes, you do, according to the government. And if I have to pay taxes, I will not work not during office That's hours. Fair. Not that I have a job, but anyway. Dies & Durga released a fragrance layering set revolving around their I don't know what fragrance enhancer. Mm-hmm. And it's a murder mystery set with five, not single notes, but single accords mm-hmm. that you can layer with I don't know what. Mm-hmm. And it's so cool.
It's so cool. I have come around. I don't know what. It's not my favorite fragrance by far, but I do appreciate it now. They told us about this in like late spring, and I've been gassed about it ever since. And yeah, it's finally here. Like Salo said, it's five new fragrance accords, new fragrances, and then one small, I don't know what. They're adorable bottles, which are 10 mLs, but
they're just like tiny,
shrunk down versions of the Dies & Durga bottle.
Yeah, there's a little.
It's essentially the five new scents are notes mixed with different amounts of I don't know what. So there's a currant one, an amber one, rose, patchouli, and hay.
I love the hay one.
I love the hay one. And I gotta be honest with you, girls. I don't really get the whole murder mystery angle. Like, all the pieces are there, but I don't see how they work together. No shade. But
it's kind of like Clue, where you just layer. I think it's a fun concept to go with layering.
I do too.
I love that it's playful. I do not understand how the game is played, but I will play it nonetheless.
I think all the pieces are there. I just don't know that they fit together conceptually, but the product is really cool and beautiful. The five scents themselves are named after these characters, like mm-hmm. the whodunit. So there's Professor Rose, Madame Courant, Dr. Newman Hay, Prince Amber, and Pat Von Chuli. And then, your mini, I don't know what. All very cute, all very good. I wore the hay fragrance on one arm and the amber on the other as I left the event. Love them both. I really like the hay.
I love the hay. When I was at the event, I was like, I asked David, would you ever release these as standalones? Mm-hmm. And he didn't say yes and he didn't say no. We'll see.
He alluded to the fact that they might do more versions of these, set or the layering notes, because I don't really know how that would look. But I think that's a great idea. And I love that I don't know what was made to wear alone or layer. I think layering was the whole concept.
Yes,
now they released a layering set with different amounts of the seed, the mother fragrance, and then other ideas. I love
the mother fragrance.
like kombucha. I think hay smells like commodity milk to me a little bit.
Oh really?
Yeah, it's really sweet.
Interesting. It is sweet. It's funny because I was at the event and I think it was the first time I had seen their little minis, although I do know they do the 10 ml discovery sets. And I was like, oh, these bottles are so cute. They're perfect. They're just like tiny little miniatures of your full sizes. Like, why don't you just sell these as your travel sizes? Because they do travel sizes in rollerball form.
It's a good question.
And they were like, well, it costs as much to make a 10 ml in this as a full size.
No.
So it's like, yeah. So they're like, it just doesn't make sense because it's just going to cannibalize the full size products.
This is their second set of six mini little bottles this. The first one dropped last holiday and I think it went crazy for them.
It did.
It's a really good idea.
It's a great idea.
Like both the layering and just the mini set. It's a great gift. We love Dies & Durga genuinely, so I would love to receive that.
I love the bottles. They're so little. I'm just like, please do it. Right. 10 ml is the perfect entry size, I think, to a fragrance because you can, I don't know, spend $45 maybe tops.
At most.
And then become hooked on it and then get a full size. So to me, I'm like, isn't that worth it? But I think to many brands, they're like, no, people just keep buying the 10 mLs.
Yes. However, I think that...
But I also think you make more money that way.
Yeah, the profit margin's larger on the smaller.
Yes, that's what I thought. I was like, how is that a bad thing?
Fair.
But what is the math? Where am I wrong? Come on.
Come on.
I may not be an economist, but I can do addition. And it seems like the addition is a little bit more advantageous to me, personally.
Can we talk about the candles? Goddamn.
Yes, we can talk about the candles.
Okay, they're doing candles.
Yes. They do the portable Xmas tree every year.
Which I didn't really give a shit about, but I smelled it and I was like, oh, no, this is pretty. Really nice. It's pretty. It's like a sweet pine.
Yeah.
It's nice.
And then before common incense. I feel like there's a pun there I'm not getting, but it
I
looks,
feel like there's an attempt there.
The box looks... best attempt. The box looks so pretty.
Yeah. It's the first time that they have done a candle in a black vessel, which is apparently a
it's so pretty.
Talking point.
And it's a gold... There's like gold foil design on it. I don't know. I just think it looks really nice.
Same.
I would be very ooh-ah if I received that Same. As a gift. And I love incense scents.
That one's a really nice one, too.
Yeah.
It's like a lighter mm-hmm. one.
They did it. I remember last year they did like a latke one as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They might bring that one back. Yeah. Holiday stuff is so fun.
It is so fun.
Because it's like the same, but shinier. The thing I like, but shinier.
We also went to separately again, mm-hmm. although narrowly missed each other.
Wait, when were you there? Because you texted me and I thought when you texted me, you were there. No. And I was like, I'm on my way.
The ass crack of dawn. It started at, again, if you work for me, no, I didn't. We were all online at this point. It started at 9:00. I was like, I can make it there and back by 9:30. It'll be fine. I got to cut all that out. Replica has a new fragrance coming out called Afternoon Delight. Mm-hmm. And they took over one of our favorite design... Oh, you love the store too. Yeah, one of our favorite design stores in Brooklyn mm-hmm. called Designers Collab.
Yep.
Which they renovated it?
They just like...
They painted it.
They painted it. They just... I don't know how tricked it out the inside.
Like, certainly took everything out.
They took everything out, yeah.
But they popped up at Designers Collab for a cute little replica coffee shop moment. It was cute.
Yep.
Designers Club has a coffee shop built into it, which is really cute and gorgeous. I hope it's still light blue. They changed the color, right?
I don't know.
Oh, fuck.
I don't know, but I haven't been to Design Collab in a while. I used to go there a lot because mm-hmm. they had a very small fragrance collection where they had BDK and they had BDK. Obvious Parfums. Yep. And I really liked both of them. So I'd like when I was like doing errands in Williamsburg, I would just like stroll into the store and spray on shit and leave like the teenager that I am.
Right.
But, like, I don't know. It was cool. And they have beautiful furniture, none of which I can afford.
Yeah.
Because it's all like high four figures or five figures.
Yeah.
I'm like, cool. Great. Not for me. But beautiful. I remember chatted with someone who worked with the brand Designers Club brand. And she had said that the reason that Margiela wanted to do it there, because I was like, this is a random pick, just like a store,
right?
They're like, let me use your store and take everything out of the store and make it look like our store, but
in
it's
Brooklyn.
Still your store. And in Williamsburg, which I thought was an interesting pick,
right?
Considering I think on like Replica, don't you have money? But they wanted to do it because they wanted it to be close to the Sephora.
What?
It's a pop-up event. They're gonna do it this weekend that we're recording, the third weekend of September. Uh-huh. They wanted it to be close enough to the Sephora in Williamsburg so people would buy it at the Sephora. But I'm like, you realize you're going to lose all these people in the 3-block distance from the store to the Sephora.
Yeah, that's...
I was like, just sell it at the pop-up. Why don't you? Isn't that the whole point? That's so weird, right?
They don't often sell things at pop-ups, though, right?
They
yes, they should. I think it becomes a different experience and probably a whole different situation.
Yeah, I guess so. It's so weird. Because I feel like there are more and more fragrance pop-ups in these really big, well-done, thorough installations. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, for you to not sell the fragrance here is crazy to me.
Yes, but then it brings in stocking and point of sale. I bet they're just not set up to, from a business perspective. Because I'm like, But I think...
Or like have Sephora there with you to do those.
Sephora doesn't do anyone any favors.
They should.
Yeah. I do think... Like you said, brand pop-ups that are consumer-facing mm-hmm. are becoming more and more commonplace. I think it's a nice sort of 1-2 punch. You can have your editor event. You can knock all that out. And then you can get the people into. As I had my second round of PRP this week. So as I was getting plasma shot onto my scalp, the girl doing it talked about she is the target for that. She's like, if I like a brand, I'll definitely go and I'll wait in line for an hour or two.
What the heck?
I'm like, I can't. Like, that is a life. And I know that like
wait
we're privileged.
Wait in line for an hour or two for what?
The pop-up to walk around, get the photo, and get a sample.
God.
And I realize that we come from a very privileged position of getting the invite and going before and getting the full-size product, et cetera, et cetera. But she was like, no, like, I'll do it. If it's a brand I like, I'll engage. And it was interesting to hear because...
People do be doing that.
Yeah. And as I was at the Margiela pop-up, I was talking to one of the girls from L'Oreal, And she was like, I think that there are just professional pop-up goers. Because I walked up at
professional 9. Professional pop-up goers.
I walked up at 9 on the dot. The only time my gay ass has ever been on time to anything. I think I was actually early. And it was going, but they hadn't let
the first 2 hours.
The civilians in yet. Yeah, yeah. But people were already in line. Like, a long line.
How did they even know about it?
I have no idea.
How did people know about things?
But what do you... I get walking by and being like, oh, what's this? And going in. That's cool. I would love that as a normal person. But to line up... Anyway.
Yeah.
Shout out to you.
What was so tragically hilarious to me only is that I didn't realize that there was a dress code for the event. And there, because it's like a vanilla based fragrance, that there are like lots of creams and beige and white. And I wear a white t-shirt most days of the week.
Yeah, same.
And I have these very silly pairs of pants from this brand called Meals. Mm-hmm. They do all this clothing that's inspired by food. And there are these white cotton wide leg, like barrel leg trousers that are watercolor dotted with beige and brown.
Cute.
I think it was like their collab with a pizza restaurant. I don't know. So I was wearing a white t-shirt with these like white pants with beige and brown watercolor splotches on them. And I walk in and I'm like, fuck, look at me looking like your number one fan.
Right. Well, I saw the dress code on the quote unquote dress code on the invite. And I was like, okay. But I was like, whatever. It's white and cream. I'll play along. So I wore your shirt, actually.
Oh.
The Die Hot shirt. I was like, it's the only cream thing I got. Yeah. So it's what you're getting.
But I walked, everyone's in their cream influencer two-piece suit with the big, I don't know. It's such a uniform now. Yep. And I was like, God fucking damn it.
I will say though, it looked culty, but everyone looked great. I mean, like it worked.
It looked like I was in a reality show.
Right.
It looked like one of those Mormon Wives sets.
Yeah, exactly. What do you think of Afternoon Delight?
It's nice. It's lovely. I think we briefly touched base on it.
Yeah.
And I said... What did I say? I said, it's a nice scent. I feel like it's been a bit done before, but it's lovely. I'm sure it'll be popular. People love vanilla. People love Madeleines.
Is that what the fuck it's called?
Cookie, not the Madeleines. Person. Yeah.
To me, I really get the Madeleine. This smells like a bready cookie. Yes, there's of course a whole ton of vanilla, but I don't think it's obviously a mainstream vanilla because it is a vanilla from Replica now, but it doesn't feel like a mainstream vanilla. It doesn't feel, thank God, like a spicy floral vanilla. It feels a little bit more reserved and pulled back.
Yeah.
I actually think it's pretty light, too.
It's quite light and quite sheer.
Yeah.
And I think they called out musk. I think they called out some sort of wood, perhaps sandalwood, which to me is just like the that girl formula.
It does... Yeah, I'm of two minds about it. It's like, I do feel like it's been done before. I'll give you that. But I also feel like it is unique in the vanilla category. Unique enough.
It's unique enough in that it's pared down to, I think, so that it will appeal to the fashion crowd as well as the TikTok gourmand loving crowd.
It smells like raw dough.
Really?
Almost. Like flour, F-L-O-U-R.
I get like the buttery creaminess.
That too. Yeah. It smells like lactonic. Dry.
Yeah, it's not a wet scent.
No.
But there's the lactonic creaminess to it.
And like crumbly.
Crumbly. I don't know if I get crumbly.
Okay, so.
I get like pound cake.
I think we're on the same
The texture
page.
Of pound cake, which Little I suppose cake. Is similar to the texture of a Madeleine.
Madagascar, vanilla, Madeleine. Accord, and sandalwood. What I like about this is, minus the scent aside, which I do, I like that it takes Replica back to original concept of the brand, which is going to a literal time and place and replicating it. So I like that it is a literal scent. I like that it is one thing that they are then replicating.
Yeah.
I always loved that about the
I like how singular the vision is.
I always loved that about the collection because I think they did it really well long before they went mainstream. And then once they did go into Sephora and everyone did find out about them, which was really cool and exciting, I feel like they lost the plot. Autumn vibes isn't enough for me if you're Replica. No. I'm sorry.
Just like, the word vibes. I was like, that. What?
Yeah. And then some of the other ones, I'm like, no, the net is too wide now. And I get it. Like, the audience is widened, so the concept does too. You got to sell
your
shit,
whatever. Bring back the lipstick
one. Yeah, bring back the fucking idea. And I feel like with this, they have. And it's funny because I said to my L'Oreal contact, I was like, this sort of takes the place of Fun Fair Evening, right? And her eyes got big. And she was like, oh, you are an OG. And I was like, do you know me? But no, because I remember I talked about Fun Fair Evening a lot in the very beginning of this show. Because it was really like... cotton candy, not cotton candy, but like Humid Air and Spun Sugar and all of that. It's done so nicely. And it breaks my heart that they phased that out. But this is a nice substitute for it.
What's interesting, it's the provenance is Paris, 1996. And I'm like, what is 1996 about this?
Yeah.
Why 1996? Is it just like a nice number
right.
to put on a bottle? Maybe it is. Looks nice. Looks great. But why that?
Yeah.
It could have been like Paris now. Paris 2004. I don't know.
I think it's not as nostalgic if it's now.
I guess so.
You know?
They have had what, like autumn vibes. It was like 2018.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I remember
not
that.
A vibe. Right. Come on. Why didn't it like call it autumn walk? Call it like autumn hike.
The whole thing felt off to me.
Yeah. I do wonder. I feel like that's a bestseller for them, but I could be talking out of my ass here. I'm probably. But people, it just jumped on that sandalwood trend.
Yep,
so
I was
going to
say it was there. It was there. This is now their vanilla because vanilla is yep. huge. That was yep. their sandalwood. And fine, I get it. But
this reminds me a lot of Diptyque Eau d'Huile.
When I tell you I have never smelled a Diptyque scent, I know that's not true, but I can't pin one down. And the ones I have smelled, I hate. Diptyque, come on the show.
They will never come on our show.
They might.
They never give us an answer. They
but
three
they
publicists.
Reach out to us.
Yeah, their publicists have. And then they get back to the brand. And part of me is, do you ask the brand before you pitch on their behalf?
I'm sure they don't.
Yeah,
publicists are
not.
Morons, respectfully.
So you're wasting everyone's time. Cool. Amazing. Diptyque, come on the show. Whoever you are as a person, who are you? I don't know. But no, I do remember actually there was like a couple months ago when Diptyque released their cafe collection mm-hmm. collab, whatever. I smelled Eau d'Huile there. I really liked it. It's their like, I think they call it a vanilla oriental. And I was like, drop the last word.
Yeah.
Drop it right now. Put it down. Right. But that was really nice. It was a really soft vanilla. And I felt it had that kind of quote unquote skin scent quality about it. And mm-hmm. this one sort of shares that a little bit. But this is a little more sheer and musky. Where Eau d'Huile, I think, is a little bit more dank,
yeah.
for lack of a better term.
I like the dryness. I like the cookie crumbliness about yeah. this. And I will not. I mean, I love a syrupy vanilla. Don't get me wrong. But yeah. like, we don't need another one. I would like to see another idea, you know, and yeah. this is it, which is cool.
What's really funny is I walked past the Sephora on Bedford in Williamsburg. There was this very cute little cart, Maison Margiela. Replica cart outside with the afternoon delight. So it's like basically like a person standing outside spraying people. It's like the old school perfume girl.
Yeah,
like, would you like a spray of this? And then they had a little pedestal with madeleines on it. It's very cute, and people are coming up like, what is this? What's all this in? Mm-hmm. The poor girl who was working the booth, she just kept sneezing.
Oh.
I was like, this poor girl.
Oh no.
She has to spray so much perfume,
right?
Also, it's like, you're outside.
Yeah,
are you okay?
Right. There's a fragrance that I love that's coming back.
Oh?
And I don't know that you care about it. What? Ali Silk Santal.
Oh, the wedding
the
scent.
Wedding.
I never got to smell those.
Oh, really?
I want to smell them.
They're both really good, but I guess Silk Santal, which was my favorite out of the two, I guess that became a cult favorite, and cool. everyone was beating down their door for it. They are releasing it, I think, as permanent.
Was that
the light one.
Okay. Are they, so they're not going to release the dark one?
I don't think so.
Dang.
But I'm so excited. The whole time I was like, because they sent me, I don't know if they had full sizes. I can't imagine that they only mm-hmm. did the little shorties, but they sent me both of the short ones, which is totally fine. But I was like, I want a big one of these right now. But then it was gone forever. People seem to be very excited about that. And mm-hmm. I caught myself as people. So yeah, you will.
I would love to.
Yeah.
Would love to smell it.
I'm wearing that new Huda shit that everyone is excited about right now. The Blur Foundation. It's so good.
I've only heard you and Kara talk about it.
Oh,
two
I feel
people.
Like everyone's talking about it. Am I wearing too much blush?
No.
When I home, oh my god, yeah, true. No such thing. When I was home, we were like about to leave for the day, and I wanted to put a little makeup on, but Ryan was in the shower mm-hmm. in my shower, so I like went into my parents' restroom.
Do you have two bathrooms?
I'm talking home at my parents' house.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
okay.
But yes, we do have two bathrooms.
Okay. Oh, what?
I know. Hey,
amazing.
I know. It's game changer. But when we were at my parents' house, Ryan was in the shower, so I just went into my parents' restroom to put on a little makeup, and my mom was in there. We were like doing our makeup together. It was really sweet. I was like, I'm so lucky, but. You know when you do your makeup somewhere else
yeah.
and the lighting's different?
Yeah.
It was like throwing on some...
Jump
not,
scare.
Yeah. I wasn't yeah. doing anything crazy, obviously, but I put on some purple blush, and then I put on a little more, and then I put on a little more. You know how I feel like you always apply blush three times because you never think you're wearing enough. I do. When I... And it was the purple about face blush that I love so much.
Yeah.
I thought I looked fine, and then I went... Ryan was finally out of the bathroom, and I went to wash my hands or something in my restroom at home. And I saw myself. I was like, oh my God, I looked like fucking Barney. And then I was like, Jesus Christ, my parents are seeing me, like, they see me in makeup a billion times. But I was like, this is not how I do it. This was a mistake, to be clear. It's like, Grimace has been euthanized.
Wait, tell me more about your two bathrooms.
So
wait, is it too full, like one half?
No, it's too full. Yeah.
Wait, really, how? Nice.
Our apartments.
Is it a newer building?
No. No.
Wow, that's because that's what I thought. I'm like, that's surprising for like kind of an older building.
It's an older walk-up.
Wow. And
what's really nice is the bathrooms have been renovated, but and the kitchen, but yeah, it's an old place. I was just saying that we should have you and Noah and Julia and Mikey over.
Yes, please. We'll what's embarrassing, and I think about this sometimes, and I'm embarrassed to say it, is that you've lived here since 2019. I have never been to any of your apartments.
Oh, it's fine. It's fine. Whatever. You don't leave the house.
That is true. But even like when you moved to Greenpoint, I was like, you're so close now. And I'm like, it's never been to your apartment.
It's fine. I'm never home.
Also that, you go out a lot.
No, yeah. So there's, our place is pretty long. It's not a railroad, it's like, but it's...
It spans the length of the building.
Exactly. And so there's just one right outside our bedroom and then one on the opposite side.
Yeah.
It's great.
And you just found that on Street Easy?
Mm-hmm. No broker fee, no nothing.
Because like Noah's moving soon. He has to move. And I'm personally invested in this because I'm like, I have to go there.
Sure.
I need to make sure.
Dude, moving is hell.
Yeah.
Where's he looking?
Me finding him an apartment.
Yeah, right.
I'm that friend. If there's something that stresses out a friend of mine that I know will tangentially stress me out, I will do everything I can to solve their problem for
them. Yeah, yeah.
I don't think he wants to live in Bloomsburg, but he does have a student in Greenpoint. So it's Greenpoint would be amazing.
Yeah.
But otherwise, probably Bed-Stuy, Clinton Hill.
I will say that the mistake.
If you know an apartment, if you have a studio, a large studio, or a one bedroom apartment for my boyfriend, please tell me.
While we're at it, we're looking for a photographer too. More
also
on that
later, if you are a photographer.
Yeah, we have a little budget, so hit us up. What advice that I would go back and give myself is that, and it's different because he's moving in with the roommate and I like moved in with my boyfriend.
Yeah.
So it's like different relationships, but we kept seeing places that were built like very built for roommates, which like he probably doesn't want either because they're like they're shitty. But it's
ideally no roommate, but it's so hard to find.
But these places are built like living room, kitchen, and then two bedrooms, and there's no space to like actually spend time.
Yeah, and it's like the living room and the kitchen are one,
and they're just all retrofitted because they were all something else.
Yeah,
and like probably all a bigger unit that they made smaller.
Yeah,
whatever. We had to realize that. Look for older buildings with, we weren't looking for anything palatial, but it's, we had to realize what wasn't for us anymore. Right, and then we started finding the really good spots.
Oh, interesting.
You know what I mean? I don't even know what I just said.
Search
but
terms.
It was just, if it looks too new, and they weren't even new buildings, but if it's like new doorknobs, no.
Yep.
Like shit like that. Look at the kitchen, if it's a fisheye, things like that.
You can tell by the kitchen and the bathrooms usually.
Exactly. Yeah. So we actually found our place on like by accident.
And, really?
Yeah.
I was looking at a different apartment and then my broker was like, well, I have this other one that's not on the market, but you can look at it. And I was like, cool. And then that's the one I went with.
Just have him find something by accident.
Yeah. How do I make him do that?
Yeah.
Dude, apartment hunting in New York.
Count me out.
I will say, I feel like apartment hunting in New York is like the one equalizer because no matter how much money you have, it still fucking sucks.
Yes, clearly. I feel like I am wearing this, but I feel like we talked about it.
I am too, but I'm mixing it.
What are you mixing it
with? We can talk about it with. Wait, ask me.
Sable, what do you smell like today?
Okay, I'm so glad you asked. Okay, when I was at the replica event, they had the whole bar with all of the replica scents, and there were like two dudes behind the bar, just, I don't know, facilitating people smelling stuff and like spraying blotters. And then like very casually, the guys, have you smelled this scent with this scent? And he mixed Afternoon Delight with other stuff. And I was like, I know. I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Are you insane?
Yeah.
But apparently now they're promoting fragrance layering, which I don't know if, I don't know, maybe they're just doing it because now it's just becoming trendy.
They're fully, yeah.
But I mixed Coffee Break with Afternoon Delight. And let me tell you, it fucking hits. And he gave me a sample of Coffee Break. So I am wearing Coffee Break layered with Afternoon Delight.
I don't love Coffee Break.
I don't actually think I've experienced it before.
It's like, it doesn't smell like coffee. And that's the thing. But, if you're replica.
Yeah. What's interesting is that, to my knowledge, Coffee Break had called out lemon something. And I was like, what the fuck are you doing?
And I think Iris, too.
Yeah. But now it doesn't. They've either changed the... I'm sure they didn't change the scent, but they've changed the way they talk about it. Because they call out, like, fucking mousse and cream and latte and blah, blah, blah. Nothing of lemon. So I'm like, good, because that really fucking threw me last time. But Coffee Break with Afternoon Delight gives you the vanilla, but it gives you this like a bitter earthiness to it from the espresso bean or the coffee bean. You get that bean base with the the fluffy mousse and then the sandalwoody airy vanilla, and it's so nice.
I have such a grudge about Coffee Break because
let's review these notes.
Like I am right now. Coffee Accord, lavender, milk mousse Accord. Yeah, no.
What business does lavender have? Up notes, according to Fragrantica, pepper, orange blossom, and patchouli. Patchouli on top, crazy.
Crazy.
Middle notes, lavender, coffee milk, tonka bean, siam benzoin, and cipriol oil. Base notes, vanilla, cedar, vetiver. Okay, that sounds like, yeah, I get that. I get that for sure.
But if you're replica and you do a coffee break scent, make it smell like some fucking coffee. I'm sorry if I'm being unimaginative, but you have one job.
Yeah. Okay, now the brand language. Let's see what the brand language is. Fragrance description. The comforting and tasty sensation of a break over a warm and creamy coffee. Coffee Break captures a cozy break in a coffee shop in the middle of winter. Strong flavors of Arabica beans and the smell of warm pastries spread their flavors into the air. That's spread. You enjoy the aromatic warmth of a coffee sip. Sure. Okay. It is interesting how they don't call out coffee, but okay. Okay. On the brand page, the top notes say Coffee Accord. Oh, there's the lemon. Coffee Accord, red apple Accord, lemon essence. What the heck? Middle notes, lavender essence, spearmint essence, orange flower absolute. Crazy. Base notes, milk mousse Accord, sandalwood essence, cedarwood essence. Okay. I don't understand how the Fragrantica build is different from this. Who writes that? I don't know. I would love to know. But yeah, I think when I had read about this and I saw lemon, I was like, no. And my brain was just like, never mind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't really get lemon. There is a little bit of a sweetness. I could get like the orange flower. Yeah. I don't get spearmint. I don't get lavender. I don't get red apple.
Too much going on.
Too much going on. So crazy.
But aren't Fragrantica built this brand blessed?
No, they are
They're
not.
They're usually
they not.
Accurate, but this goes so left. Obviously, there is more in replica sense than like the three notes called out. I get that. But I want to know like where the fuck these came from then. Cause I want to know the truth.
Yeah, I don't know who writes the pages for these things.
Yeah,
I think that would be interesting.
I keep thinking we should have someone from Fragrantica on.
Yeah, I don't know anybody there.
It just scares me though.
I don't know anybody.
That comment section, leave me alone.
It is funny because I do feel like on the whole for Fragrantica comments, these are like serious people who they take these things very seriously. But I'm like, I just wish that there needs to be someone a little bit more. They're all chaotic.
Yeah.
But I do think it'd be funnier to just have almost TikTok comments to the comments for Fragrantica.
Literally.
That are sillier.
I was going to say these people have a lot to say, but then I remembered we're the ones hosting a fragrance podcast. I know. I guess.
Throw stones in perfume houses. Tynan, what do you smell today?
I am wearing Remix from Bianco Profumo.
Oh, great. I like that one a lot.
I think it's very interesting.
That's like the lime.
It's called lime.
Oops.
The fuck is it?
I just thought it was called Remix.
Lime. Lime Remix. All right, whatever. Yes. Bianco was nice. Are we having them on the show?
We are.
Jesus.
In 2 weeks.
All right. Bianco was there. Bianco is a small fragrance brand out of Chicago. They were nice enough to send us their entire collection consisting of Neroli
Pomodoro, Cherry Leather,
and Remix. All of which are really lovely. I don't find a lot of... I think Remix and Neroli Pomodoro are closer than they are far.
Yes.
I was really interested in this one, though, because it has bergamot, mandarin, lime oil, ozone, jasmine, spearmint, watermelon, oak moss, amber, and musk. The spearmint and the watermelon really jumped out at me because I love both of those scents. I don't know about together. This one is really fresh, like really invigorating. And I get a lot of the citrus, the ozone, the sort of spearmint and jasmine, all of that. It's a very green, very cooling wear. Mm-hmm. I like that it has a lot of elements of a traditional masculine cologne without being that.
It's a modern aquatic to me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Without being Aqua di Gio. Like it feels
like it's giving, and I say this respectfully, like Gen Z cool water a little bit.
I'll give you that.
The new cool water.
Yeah. It's like it's equal parts classic and innovative in a way that it doesn't feel gendered and it feels really fresh and alive and lovely. Definitely not my favorite thing I've ever smelled or worn this year, but was definitely interested in it. And because of the build and it containing so many things I do in. And I like it a lot. You know, I love the spearmint moment. The watermelon does, if you really look for it, pull up. There's a little bit of juicy sweetness that's really nice. Yeah, I'm looking forward to learning more about them and the brand when they join us pretty soon here. Their tagline is "Smell fucking terrific," which I think is hilarious. I think all of their scents are really successful. Again, I love Neroli
Pomodoro.
Why can I ever remember
that? I don't know.
Goddamn word. I love Neroli Pomodoro. I love anything that's like really tomatoey and basil-y for the body.
Yeah.
I feel like you get that so much in like home that people are afraid to put that on. And it's really, that is a really successful moment. And then Cherry Leather.
I love Cherry
I know
leather.
You do. It's a very used scent. And it is. It's really good. I think they could wear a little longer. But I think I'm beginning to be, I have more of an appetite for like stronger, longer wearing scents. I find that I'm unhappy.
I think
when
most people
off.
Do.
Yeah,
that, like most. That's like the number one searched fucking fragrance room. Right. Like long lasting perfume. I'm like, just spray more.
Maybe I have become a reapplier.
That just spray more.
I said it never happened.
That's the tagline.
Let's get to this shit, shall we?
Yes. We have spoken about Elysium before. Mm-hmm. I've worn the attachment oil. I love it.
It is
so romantique. And Courtney Brunson, who's the founder and creator of Elysium, we go way back with her from the Exo Jane days.
Can you believe it?
I know. She was a contributor for Exo Jane. She's so cool. She's so funny. Mm-hmm. She's like one of my favorite writers. Yeah. And we just lost touch after a while as we all scattered amongst the media world.
Well, and there were so many of us.
There were so many of us. There was, yeah. Like once the sites shuttered, it was like,
yeah. See you never.
See you never. Yeah. It is foundational in the lore of internet culture.
It is also foundational in our careers.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
I wouldn't have any of this. I wouldn't even be in New York.
We wouldn't know each other.
We wouldn't know each other. I wouldn't be in beauty. Like, yeah. Shit.
No, it's yeah.
It's crazy.
It's great in many ways, and I'm glad we've moved on. I still say that there's nothing quite like Exo Vane about beauty on the internet, and I think that's like a huge, just like missing opportunity for media.
To be transparent, who keeps in touch? We essentially, me, you, Kara, Rachel, Allie, and Marcy talk every day in one way or another.
Yeah.
Amongst ourselves, we're always thinking about how to do it again or not bring it back, but do it in a way that feels like that because it is, that piece is still missing but do it in a way that is 2024 forward. So if anyone has $500,000 that they would like to give us to start a site and fund it, let us know.
Let's do it. I'm down. I'll be a girl boss.
We're also serious.
Just kidding. No, I'm not.
I'll be a girl boss.
No, I'll do it, but I don't want to be a girl boss, but I do want to do it anyway. Fund our website. Wow, this intro really went places.
I know.
I feel like every time we touch on Exo Vane, it just goes crazy.
Triggered.
But no, but I was so happy to see that Courtney was thriving in Paris, doing really cool shit.
Yeah.
I was like, when she started teasing Elysium with all the graphics, I was like, okay, this shit's going to be good. I can tell. And we talked about the attachment mail before. It goes hard. It's such a lovely, cool, thought out, interesting product and brand. And so obviously we're like, now we need to have her on the podcast.
I hadn't, last episode or whenever the hell order these run, I hadn't worn it when you spoke about it, but I wore it that next day, that Sunday, and I didn't think it was going to be quite up my alley because it's light and musky and a little aquatic and all of this. I cannot tell you how pleasantly surprised I was by how much I like it and have gone back to it. I think it's incredibly beautiful. It's such a nice wear. We'll get into it in the show, but
if you like universal flowering, you will love this because Courtney Refuse, the two Courtneys, they teamed up.
Yeah.
And Courtney Refuse is the perfumer behind Attachment Oil.
And I will say that it's different than a universal flowering scent, like vastly, but in the best of ways.
I could see it living in the universal flowering world, but it definitely has Courtney Refuse's style.
Yeah.
I'll give it that. Yes. But it's just like Courtney Brunson's unique vision. The two Courtneys. I love that. Anyway, so here's our episode with Elysium.
Let's do it.
I'm Courtney Brunson, and now I'm introducing myself as the founder of Elysium, which sounds really cool.
Yeah.
But yay.
I also have a day job. I am a freelance product developer for beauty products. Right now, I've been doing a lot of body care and skincare, and I also do fragrance. But I know you guys as a freelance writer when we were all at XO together.
Are you allowed to reveal some of the brands you've worked with?
I can reveal the ones I have worked with, probably not the new ones that are coming out.
Okay.
So when I was full-time working in beauty, I was at Estee Lauder for 4 or 5 years, and I worked with Clinique and Origins. And then after that, I was at EOS. This was my COVID job, working from home for the first time. And I was making lip balms and body lotion fragrances.
Heck, that's so cool. I too have worked at Estee, so I know how it goes.
Okay, so you get it. We've lived the same life.
We've suffered the same lives. Isn't that Trisha Paytas tweet when she got out of the Big Brother house that she's like, I'm out. Worst experience of my fucking life.
Literally. Yeah, I love having someone who knows my trauma.
Totally.
I learned I'm not a corporate girly at all. Oh my God.
Same. I think Tynan's still realizing that, but
he's read me. No, I know. It's funny. When I got out of Estee, I was like, I'll never work at a big corporate beauty company ever again. And now that I've had some other experience, I'm like, you know what? That was hell. But there are other circles of hell that I had yet to experience. So anyway, that's really cool. Wait, before, now we're already spinning out, but when you say product development, what sort of area is that? Are you doing formula, or are you doing, I know you talked about scents. I guess I'm curious, because like, how do you do that from home?
Very good question. It was definitely easier when I was living in the same country as the brands I worked at. So yeah. I'm costing people a lot in shipping bills. But I work directly with either third-party manufacturers, or if it's an in-house lab, with chemists working on formulas, selecting ingredients, and managing testing. I've even done some freelance just managing clinical testing for claims. And the same with fragrance, working with a fragrance house and doing the fragrance brief and evaluating the mod, getting it to the final thing. And flavors is pretty much the same process as fragrance. And sometimes it's the same fragrance house that they'll also do flavors. Mm-hmm. So now that I live in Paris, people just send me products and I do my tweaks the best I can. Mm-hmm. But when I was living in New York, I was going to the lab all the time and going to production sites and doing all of the technical stuff, which I miss, to be honest, but I don't fully speak French yet. So that's why I'm not doing that here.
Got it.
Interesting.
Got it.
Did you know any French before you moved to Paris?
No, I did Duolingo on my iPad.
Dude, that is brave. That is brave with the French. All of my experiences in Paris, I have this theory that Paris is the Boston of Europe.
That's so funny.
Only because, and no disrespect to the French, they have made beautiful things that we continue to love. But I've always had like iffy experiences in both Boston and Paris for the same reasons that feel a little discriminatory. But
oh, yeah, they're super racist here.
Yes. OK, thank you for saying that, because I was like, everyone I know who's white, they love Paris. And then everyone who's not white who goes to Paris, they're like, I don't know, I had some weird experiences.
Oh, yeah, it's super weird. And I did the classic mistake of reading James Baldwin and reading about Josephine Baker and being like, it'll be fine. It's cool. But no, it's still.
Yeah. Yeah.
Same thing. Is. But speaking French is very humbling. I am not fluent. I don't know if I ever will be. I took a French class when I got here that kind of helped, but I made a lot of American friends and I just and expat friends who speak English. So I only speak French with my boyfriend and he's very patient and trying to help me.
Nice.
But yeah.
Wow. So Emily in Paris could know more French. I knew it. We're four seasons in. She still can't speak French. And I'm like, how is this possible? But now I know you can get around speaking like fluent. Okay. Good to know. Good to know.
Yeah.
Courtney, what do you smell like today?
I smell like attachment oil from my brand. Yes. And I also smell like Nivea body cream, which is one of the most underrated scents.
I agree. It. Nivea is such a nostalgic scent for me. Something about it is so comforting. And I think maybe it's just because it's like it has roots in my childhood. So it just reminds me of that. But yeah, shout out to Nivea.
We got
to
get them on.
It's so good. I also think Dove body wash, the original cream wash and the original scent is one of the best fragrances of all time. I love that clean drugstore basic scent.
I love that too.
Those are the MVPs, I feel like, of, I don't know what you like, scent, I don't know, scent nexus, where the most amount of people will recognize that scent.
I like Dove too because it smells clean but not sterile.
Yeah.
It's always nice. There's that little milkiness to it.
Like clean TM.
Totally.
You gave us already gave us a rundown of what you do and a little bit about your background, but I'm curious, what the hell brought you to Paris?
It's not the most romantic story. I just was so sick of New York. And I moved back. So I was in New York for 10 years. And working. I went to college there. I moved there pretty young, but I never had any breaks. And I always had a dream of living in Europe. But when you have a full-time job and your friends and your life, it doesn't seem like it'll ever happen. Mm-hmm. But in COVID, I moved back to South Jersey with my mom and quarantined with her. And I just couldn't imagine going back to New York. It just wasn't a possibility. Mm-hmm. I was single. And it just seemed like the perfect opportunity. I had nothing tying me to the U.S. other than just my friends and family. So I moved to Paris in 2022. It's been 2 years now. And just because I really love the city, I have always felt a peace here. I think that it's the one city that matches my energy level really well, and I don't feel exhausted, and I'm also inspired here. So it was my dream city, and I'm really glad I did it.
Oh, I love that.
That's so cool.
I love a success story like that.
I feel like the big metropolitan European cities, like, they'll give you like a little bit of that energy that New York kind of gives you, but they also know when to kick back and chill, which New York
absolutely
does not.
Yeah. And I just realized, just in the same way I'm not a corporate girl, I'm not really competitive at all.
Same.
Me too.
I care about my career because I like doing certain things, but I don't need to be better than anyone, which doesn't give you a lot to talk about when you're out in New York. And in Paris, it seems like nobody wants to hear about your job ever, which is so nice. It takes a lot of pressure away.
Yeah.
Just a lot of food and drinking, which is nice.
That is nice.
I'm trying to imagine going to a social event or meeting people at a party and the conversation not steering to like, so what do you do?
Mm-hmm. I know it's still something I have to break myself of.
Yeah.
It's hard. I think it's challenged me to be more interesting, which self-work, I think that's always a good thing. But yeah, it's just learning a new way of connecting with people who, one, don't really like enthusiasm that much. So you have to just chill out and be calm and talk to people. But yeah.
That's so funny.
That's really funny.
So we want to hear all about attachment oil. But before we get into all that, we're just super curious because having written for EXO, like we all did way back in the day, I would love to set that all up with hearing more about your personal relationship with fragrance.
Yeah, I love fragrance. I feel like I think scent is just my most important sense. Mm. And it's almost hard to balance that with profession when being a professional fragrance beauty person, because I think about it all the time with my hand soap, my candles, what my dog's shampoo smells like. Everything, just scent, just always has really mattered to me. And ever since I was young, I was a early 2000s kid and buying celebrity perfumes and all of that. So
same.
It's that's what made me love beauty. It was perfume and body sprays before makeup and skincare. And now that it's my job, it's nice to have a job that is technical on one side, but also is very invisible. And I think that it's a skill that isn't really expected to be able to smell things really well, but it's something I'm really proud of as a job. And I just think it's really fun. And now I wear fragrance all the time. I wear it when I'm alone, if I'm going somewhere, if I'm in a bad mood, a good mood. I have to find a scent to reflect it.
Totally. And heal it sometimes.
You're one of us.
One of us, definitely. Yes. What is your, I'm curious, what is your favorite celebrity perfume?
I think Britney Spears Fantasy, Paris Hilton, the original pink bottle.
Yep.
Both of those are incredible to me. I love a good vanilla.
Yes.
It's good. You've never smelled it?
I feel like I skipped that era. I don't know where I was, what I was doing, but I feel like I skipped that era. And so many people from so many walks of life have name checked Fantasy by Britney Spears. So I just need to get a bottle.
And the Paris one too. Yeah. It's funny. I hate that Paris Hilton fragrance so bad. It's all these like caustic white florals. So of course I'd hate it. But I don't know how you're all running around in middle school smelling like that. I can't get far enough away from it. But everyone loves it. It's to this day.
It's so funny how the things that I think smell like shit now, when I was 11, I was like, this is it.
Yep.
I figured it out.
Yep. Same.
Yep.
All of the Escada flankers, like they're like summer releases. God. I was obsessed with them as a teenager. And now I'm like, oh, good. Another fruity floral.
Back then, Escada and J.Lo Glow, those citrus fragrances, it was a new world. It was amazing.
Yeah.
It's funny. I interviewed Paris one time for one of her fragrance launches for you, I think.
And, for L'Oreal.
And they had sent me a bunch of them, and I had never, to that point, had never smelled the original. So I put it on and hated it, but I was like, I'm wearing it now. So I went about my day, and there were a couple women like around my age that stopped me, and they were like, are you wearing Paris Hilton? And I was like, yeah. And they were like, I love it. I wore it in middle school all the time. And I'm like, okay, good for you. Do you want it? Here. But no, I feel like celebrity fragrances, everyone has talked shit on them for so long. But they're all a part of our lives.
Yeah. They're generational touchstone.
They are.
Especially for millennials, because I feel like when we were teens, like that's when like all of them started coming out.
Yeah. I really wonder how the teens now, what is it, Gen A or Gen Z? I don't know. I sound like a boomer.
I think it's Gen
A. What letter is it?
Gen A is like ages 8 to 14 or something. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Okay.
Yeah. They're like the 12-year-olds.
Yeah, whoever they are, middle schoolers now, I want to know if they will feel like the same way that we felt about Britney Spears Fantasy as all the Ariana Grande scents and Billie Eilish and stuff, because now everything is so sugary vanilla. It's just a different era versus our citrus shit that we had.
Totally. And I also, I guess, now that you say that, I've never thought about this. We all talk shit on celebrity brands or whatever, even though the Rare Beauty and the Fenty Beauty, they're not going anywhere. They're just brands aside from the celebrity. I do wonder for those younger generations if there is that same sort of stigma or if they're just normalized as part of their beauty experience at this point. I will never know because I won't talk to a young person.
No, but it does. I don't have access to children.
No,
it
same.
It's weird.
Same.
Yeah, I'd like to keep it that way.
Yeah, I never talk to teens. I'm like, they scare me a little bit.
They
when
do scare me.
Them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're too cool and intimidating, and I just avoid them a little bit.
they fear nothing, and that
they're
scares
brave.
Me.
So, Elysium and attachment oil, we want to know everything.
Yeah.
And I think we're most interested in the fact that you just had this idea and ran with it and started your own brand. But can you just walk us through from the seedling of the idea to now having the product? Just the I know it's a big question, but the entire journey for you and what inspired it and what it was like to formulate it, et cetera, et cetera.
I have a very amateur interest in astrology and mythology. I find it so interesting, and I'm also not motivated enough to really study it or read more than 2 or 3 books about it.
Sure.
But I got into astrology a couple of years ago, and my chart ruling planet is Venus. So when I looked that up, my placement, Venus in Libra, it basically said that my career is supposed to be in elixirs and jewels and beautiful things. And I was like, well, that sounds right. Okay, this shit's real.
Yeah.
That's how you know it's real.
When I read one thing that felt true, I was like, okay, I believe in all of it. So After that, I read a book called Venus and Aphrodite by Bethany Hughes. And I just had this fascination with how Aphrodite, who is Aphrodite and then Venus, she's had this appearance and culture around the world. It's not just Greece and Rome. She first appeared in Cyprus, and every culture, just like everyone has God, they have some type of goddess for love and beauty, and would give materials to worship her and things like that. And I just felt connected to that idea somehow. I didn't necessarily think it would be perfume, but then I had last year in October, it's actually only been a year that I've been working on this. Wow. I had a free month, pretty much. I had no freelance jobs and nothing to do, but I was on Pinterest all the time. Mm-hmm. And making these Pinterest boards of old Lalique glass bottles, the old Avon bottle, and a lot of romantic period art and sculptures and different sinks that had these cool finishes and were reflective and things that tied into shells and pearls. And it looked like a brand to me. I thought, okay, this could actually be something. Mm-hmm. So I thought about making a perfume, and I wasn't too attached to it working. I thought, let me just reach out to some people and see if this is something I could do and afford. And I found my perfumer through you guys, which I also have to just say, I love your podcast.
Oh,
I really, I do. I love how you guys talk about fragrance. And I don't have access to a lot of new brands and fragrances in Paris. When I listen to your podcast, that's how I can smell things without getting them in France.
Oh my God. That's incredible. Thanks for saying that. That
also
means a lot.
Well, I love it.
Of course. Yeah, I listened to your interview with Courtney Refuse and followed her on Instagram, and also Marissa Zappas too. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, the way she writes her fragrance descriptions is unreal.
Yes.
I totally identified with it because she describes scents not just in a fragrance pyramid. So I reached out to her. She was kind enough to have a Zoom call with me. And as soon as I pitched my whole concept, she was happy to work with me, which nice. I was like, how did I finesse this? She's the coolest perfumer ever.
Yeah, she is.
She really is. So I started working on the scent with her and then retrofitted everything else about the brand. My friend from, I worked with Soft Services for a little while.
Oh, cool. I love their stuff.
Me too. Their products are so
good. They're so good. Yeah. So good.
Yes. And also their scented buff bars. I didn't work on those, but they smell really good. I love them.
They're amazing.
Yeah. I love that they're doing this kind of like limited edition rotation of scents.
Yes.
It makes like soap like a cool collectible thing.
It's so fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. My friend Brie worked on the website and their emails and stuff, and she was in Paris visiting, and I told her about this idea and I wanted to make a brand, and she was like, I'll do your website. So
sick.
I was like, okay, so that's another thing that's real. And we started working on the branding together. She does branding and a visual identity. She does like a digital world builder.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And we found the typefaces together, all of the colors that I wanted, and build out what the website could look like. And then when I started working on the altar, which is the second piece of the brand, so I have the fragrance and then I have the altar, I have had an Instagram crush on Petite A Studio, which is in Barcelona. Her name's Anaïs Lopexen, and she is a glass artist. And I just was obsessed with the kind of lumpy glass she made. It reminded me of those Lalique bottles that I was obsessed with. So I reached out to her, and originally I wanted to make a custom bottle, but I'm sure, Sable, you understand.
Oh my
this
God.
Being fragrance.
That would be like six figures.
Yeah, it was impossible. So I couldn't afford it, and no one buying the product would ever be able to afford it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So then I switched to thinking about a holder in some way. Mm-hmm. And I thought of doing an open shell concept, and we had a lot of different shapes that we worked on and sending pictures back and forth and just texting and stuff. And we made this altar idea. And then the last partner, there's a couple other ones. My other friend, Jessica, who also has worked with Soft Services, made my animation for my website and my logo. And she's really gifted. She's just fresh out of NYU and is an amazing digital designer. And I could say these crazy things like, I want this to look like auras and orbs and pearls floating around and stuff. And she understood what I was talking about and helped with that. All of those different pieces just fell really naturally. And I could not get a real vendor to work with me with my quantities. Nobody wants to make something that's less than 500, 5,000 bottles.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. That's sure. The hardest part is that like everything cool, it's just like gate kept until you hit a certain number.
Totally. So I realized, okay, I'm not going to have the most custom out there packaging or anything like that, but I do have this really beautiful glass art piece that can go with it. So that kind of keeps a little bit of that. And everything else has also been small and by hand. All of my labels for attachment oil are vinyl and hand printed in Toronto by an artist, Sandy Plotkinoff, and he does a lot of labels and stickers and stuff. And we got to choose the different types of vinyls and work together on that. And it's just been really nice to work with just artisans and artists who really have a lot of talent in a specific style instead of having to work with a vendor where they're just, it's like McDonald's. They're just making a ton of crap that all looks the same and smells the same.
Right. I mean, looking at attachment oil, it might not be a custom component, whatever, but the entire thing feels very cohesive and very tight through a very small lens in a way that I do mean in a positive way. It just feels very like everything you just described. And I think that is just as important, if not more, as a custom component, because Sable and I talk all the time about product and marketing, branding, et cetera, et cetera. And these brands with all this money sometimes just put out these ideas that make no fucking sense whatsoever.
Yeah.
So it's like custom isn't the only way to get to where you're going. And I think that you really nailed your own idea in a way that is completely holistic and super nicely done. It doesn't
Thank
all have
you.
To be custom.
I love the the round rollerball shape, because you don't really find, I feel like when you get rollerball stuff, it's always in a stick, but it's never like this like nice circle that you can hold.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, that's really cute. Something about the shape also reminded me of, I don't know, like 90s, like when I was little bottles of perfume.
Yeah.
It like looked a little vintage to me.
Even like 70s almost.
Yeah, yeah, even 70s. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up, because I agree. I think rollerballs are usually a throwaway for samples, but they're really useful. And I love how delicate and tiny sample bottles can be. I really love the Maison Louis Marie perfume oils, and they never spill. Mm-hmm. You can keep them in your purse. You can trust them. And they're also, from the point of view of having a business, so easy to ship.
Yeah.
A lot less liability of glass breaking in a box and sending that to somebody.
Yeah. Right.
But it feels really special. And I like having a translucent label with the bottle, because it looks like a little bubble, which is really cute.
And the rollerball itself, in concert with the component, feels like a pearl. I love that.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about just the scent itself?
Yeah.
Oh, I also forgot to mention the inspiration for why I said attachment.
Yeah.
That's probably important. I think attachment theory is really funny. And I think the idea of someone smelling your perfume and being haunted by it is really cool.
Yeah.
And I just had this thought of perfume oil. I like how it just sticks to everything. It's on your clothes. It's on your sheets. Mm-hmm. If you like hold your dog, smells like your perfume, it lands everywhere. And I love the thought of someone dating you, being your friend, anything, and they smell you everywhere, and it just, they can't forget you.
Oh,
so
I
wanted it to be anxious attachment in a bottle.
That's a really sick idea. I love that.
It's time that attachment got its fair due. I feel like it's always like a negative thing when we're like, maybe we can romanticize it a little bit.
Right.
Or if people are like, I want to fix it. I don't want to be anxious. I want to be secure. It's like, yeah, sure. But
where's the fun in that?
Enjoy it.
That's not fun. I really wanted this fragrance to be ethereal and watery, and to smell like what I was seeing in these mood boards and these ideas that I had in this kind of visual world. And when I was working with Courtney Rayfuse, my fragrance briefs are nuts. They're completely hard to understand. I was saying stuff, sending her Pantone colors. I wanted it to smell like this color, and saying, you know, I want it to be like when you put your face in a wet t-shirt that you just got out of the washer and you have that wide, wet smell. Mm-hmm. And she was like, yeah, totally. I get it. It's like, that's why I love you. So I wanted it to have wetness and also be really cold. It's not a warm, comforting scent in that way. It wakes you up a little bit. I love aldehydes and really crispy, almost metallic aldehydic notes, which I think feel like pearls and feel like shells.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I also wanted to keep the inspiration of Venus. And one of the best offerings for her, flowers and pomegranates. So there's crushed pomegranate seed elements and also raspberry leaf. And it has that kind of jammy, juicy red fruit feeling. So it's sweetness from fruit instead of from a gourmand or a sugar, which is different to me. Mm-hmm. And I also wanted it to, the dry down, to smell good on my clothes. So Tynan, when you emailed me and said you loved how this smelled on your shirt, I was like, yes, exactly. That's what I wanted.
It's so funny. I was reading the description in... Personally, I was like, okay, this isn't going to be a scent for me, but I'll play along. And really, genuinely, I put this on and I texted Sable and I was like, what the fuck's going on here? I love this. It is that musky, skin-like, forgive me, aldehydic, softly sweet vibe.
Yeah.
And it really lands for me in a way that I have gone back to quite often. And sometimes I'm like, it's not there at all. And sometimes I'm like, oh, it's all I smell. And it stays with you and creeps up on you. And I do like that. It is a soft, to me, it's a softer scent, but because it's an oil, it does stick, and like the longevity is there. I don't know. I think it's a huge success.
Yeah. I feel like oils, perfume oils just feel more romantic to me, just like the application of it and like the gestures. Yeah, for sure. And I remember when I received it, I was unfortunately like in the midst of a sinus situation where I couldn't really smell things. So I feel like going back to wear it continuously as my sinuses were like slowly calming down and opening up, I was like just getting more and more of the scent, like in the experience where I was like, okay, mm-hmm. it smells musky and a little bit sweet and velvety. And then towards a week or two later, I was like, wait, no, now I get the pomegranate. Yeah. Like, now I'm getting this all.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's deceptively sweeter than it wants to let you know that it is. You know what I mean? It's certainly not sweet like I like, because I love Overkill, but it goes in a few different directions all at once, but it always gets to wherever it's going.
Yeah. I do appreciate that it is, like you said, a cold or cool toned musky softness, because I feel like they're, I don't really see, we don't really see those. No. Like usually I feel like when people try to do softer, more transparent or sheer scents, they're always like on the warm ambery side. Mm-hmm. So it's really cool to see it like on the flip
or
side.
Or like woody.
Or woody.
Yeah, to me. Yeah.
Or they're those singular, first of all, thank you for saying how much you like it. And I'm very happy. Appreciate you. But yeah, the thing with synthetic musk is they became trendy with the single molecule thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Juliet has a gun where it Cetalocks. It's, yeah. For me, it's not enough. I feel the same way about Santal 33. I don't just want one note of anything. Mm-hmm. I think it doesn't live enough on your skin over time. I think you want your fragrance to change as you smell it, as you wear it, and as you're in different conditions. You're wearing a different body lotion and it's hot today. And then, you know, it's different things make it change. So I wanted to capture that feeling, but with other things too. Two of my favorite perfumes are Diptyque Fleur de Peau and also Diptyque Philosophos. And I don't know if this is true, but I think Fleur de Peau is the inspiration for Glossier U, because they both have ambrette seed, iris, pink pepper, some aldehydic stuff going on.
Okay. Hot tip.
Thieves.
Yeah. Smell them next to each other. They smell alike. And And Philosophos is just fig. It's every part of the fig. And I wanted those two to have a baby, which I feel like this and a little more.
The idea of breeding perfumes is so funny to me. Make them have a baby. It's like designer dogs.
Yeah, we can do it with dogs. Why can't we do it with perfume?
The doodle of perfumes.
Right.
Yeah, this is the Cavapoo of perfume oils.
No.
The episode title.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah, I knew it.
How did you land on the name?
I went through a few different things. I thought of calling it Venus Oil or Pearl Water or different things like that. Mm-hmm. But oil was my working name and I really stuck with it. And it's funny with this perfume. Usually when I work with other brands on fragrances, I go through so many mods until I make it perfect. And then the final thing I choose is what it is. Mm-hmm. But this was actually the first thing Courtney ever sent me.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa,
got it. I have the sticker still. She sent me a package and said, try this first. And immediately it blew me away. It was just so cool to see a concept smell like this. And I'd never had such luck on the first try. But we tried to change it a few different times. We actually had a lot of mods after that where I said, I want to, because there's mandarin aldehydes in this, and I wanted to increase the citrus. I love Atelier Cologne. They don't exist anymore, but they had this perfume called Orange Sanguine with blood orange.
Yeah.
And I wanted to bring that up, and also with the iciness. And there's a mod that smelled orange water ice. We tried another one where I sent her this crazy picture of a lady standing on top of a pile of clouds. And it was more musky and woody and just a lot more of the cedar wood that's in here, just amplified. But that was too harsh. And we realized that in order to get this watery without being soapy and also a little green kind of feeling, it had to be like this. Mm. Everything just really belonged together and we could never make this better. It's just so good the way it is. So we always came back to it. So I always came back to the first mod and the working name, and it ended up being what I launched.
That's so cool. I do love that you tried some other directions with the two and kept coming back to one. That's how you know, right?
Yeah, that's on trusting your gut.
Yeah.
So I feel like we have the picture of how this all came to be now. What is next? Are you building the brand? Are you just running with the scent?
That at Elysium was like a universe.
Yeah.
And I was like,
it feels like a universe.
It does. Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah. I think it's definitely a world. It feels more like a universe than a real brand, because I don't even use my logo consistently and there's a lot of stuff that I'm probably not doing perfectly, but I only want to do fragrances that feel necessary and important. I don't want to just do line extensions just for the sake of it. But something I've liked is that I've gotten messages from people who say they don't like perfume or don't wear it and they really like this. Mm-hmm. I'm torn if I want to do a new scent or this scent in another form, like mist or a milk or a lotion or something like that. I have some ideas for other scent profiles too that may not even be oils. It's hard to know, but I think that I didn't expect to be like an entrepreneur, a brand owner. I really don't see myself that way at all. Yeah. So I was like, let me see if this works and then I'll figure it out.
I was going to say, I see maybe a candle because something to go along with the altar.
Yeah.
Like a space scent.
We talked about that and Courtney was saying that this fragrance doesn't really work in a candle because of the notes that burn off that are more volatile.
Okay.
So I wish, I think I would have to do a mod where it changes a little bit.
Sure. Yeah.
I really think that this scent is best in oil, but I think as a mist, it could give you something a little bit more, like filling the room and everything. But I don't know. I have to really think about it.
I think that was my question. You may have already answered this a little bit, but was this always meant to be an oil? It was never going to be an EDP?
It was always going to be an oil.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I would love oil. If you were going to go into body, I would love to just see, since this is what you do, like your take on whatever body product you wanted to do, because since it would be through your brand and not anyone else's, not fulfilling anyone else's brief, I think that would be so sick. I also know that, as I'm sure you do too, that like body milks are indexing really high in the next couple of years. So that's, that's why everyone is like doing them now and will be doing them.
I think bar soaps were going to come back.
I think that they are a bit, but you'll see in the next year or two that body milks are going to be huge. Unless I'm talking shit, Courtney, but I think I'm right because I've worked on a few.
No, you're right. Yeah, same. No, you're totally right. Hey. And I really wanted to do a milk, but that's the other thing. I don't want anything to seem like gimmicky, even though I love that. I think the Diptyque body lotions, it's like a milk and it's really nice. And I wish it was in a dropper bottle or something. Ooh. I think that could be so cool.
Do it. But it's not going to be gimmicky if it's your inspiration. You know what I mean? You're not chasing consumer data.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's the one thing where Tynan, you know this too, and Fable, like marketing reports and trend report, it makes me sick. I can't read them. No. I hate them so much. Right. And I didn't do any competitive research with this. It was just for my brain. But there's a brand I found there. We don't have a ton of the new cool brands in Paris. I know Paris seems like it would be so cool, but in some ways it's not. But there's this one streetwear store that has these Japanese perfume ointments. And they're these little tiny tubes and it feels like a thick, like medicinal ointment, but the fragrances are gorgeous.
Oh, nice.
I feel like that would be so cool.
That would be cool.
Find the name of it.
I feel like solids are coming around.
I just remember seeing there was some brand that did like a solid body lotion bar.
Okay.
It's like, it's almost like a, I don't want to say
like a melting bar.
Like those massage.
Is that the Air Milkshake one?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like those massage bars. Kate McLeod.
McLeod.
Yeah.
Something.
And
that's cool.
The idea, because whenever I travel,
yeah.
I never really pack body wash or body lotion because I'm like, maybe like the hotel will probably have it. And then I just like end up hating what they have. And then I just walk around with like dry husk skin, very upset. But then I was like, wow, what a genius idea. A solid moisturizer bar.
I do really like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so smart. Like,
this should be a thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then putting it in a cool case.
Yeah. Really.
Then it's refillable and it is essentially packaging free. Yeah. There's a lot of good stuff there. A lot of
cool stuff to do.
Have you guys ever seen the papers, like the perfume papers, where you crinkle them up and you burn them in an ashtray? And then it's almost like incense, but it's
incense
paper and it's a little book lamp.
Yeah.
I have not.
I think those are cool.
Yeah.
I
also,
I've seen a lot of Japanese ones.
Okay.
That makes sense. Yeah. But I don't know why more perfume brands don't do detergent for your clothes.
I think they're starting to. I've been noticing more and more releasing like body and laundry.
I think that's cool. I think wearing your fragrance in a way that's not on your skin is cool.
Tynan and I have polarizing opinions on that, but
I fucking hate it. Oh my God.
I want to hear it. Really?
Wait, okay. So this is so funny because I was going to say this in the intro, but Sable and I were just gifted perfumed detergent, like luxury detergent that is like for the sake of scent.
Yeah.
I think it's a great idea. No, I
If you love that scent, exactly. If that's your signature scent, then it's perfect for
but
you.
But the thing of it is, so yeah. I knew I wasn't going to like it. And like the scent was fine. It just wasn't a scent for me.
Yeah.
But I did a load of laundry yesterday. I was like, you know what? Let me fuck around and try this. When I tell you, and I know it's wasteful and I'm sorry, I took all my button downs out of the dryer, smelled them, put them right back in the washer with another detergent. I was like, I can't fucking do it. Because it was like floral and it wasn't strong, but it was strong enough. It wasn't that, oh, I just washed my clothes. Yeah, smell. Yeah. It was like, oh, there's perfume in the weave of this textile.
No, it does work.
Like, it does work. And it was like my work shit. And I was like, I don't like the scent. I don't like perfume clothes. It's going to drive me crazy. Yeah. So I had to get it off. I do think it's a good idea. It's just not a good idea for me.
Fair, fair.
That's so funny.
If you have a scent, it's great for you.
Yeah.
But you know that I love like hearing how people feel about different things because while we all want to smell good, nobody wants to smell like shit.
Yeah.
And there's nothing worse than one person thinks you smell like shit and your perfume is 10 feet away from your body for your perfect laundry detergent.
Yeah. Also, it makes me start to question the special thing. The one special thing about perfume to me is its reaction to your body chemistry and your body heat. And you miss that with, I believe that you miss that with a scented detergent and then perfumed clothing. And then it's like, shit, is this button down then going to scent the room? Am I going to be scenting am I like walking potpourri now? Which I guess could be the same thing could be said for a perfume itself. I don't know. That's true. I was like, I don't like this.
Something about the heat from a dryer feels like it really bakes it into your clothes.
And it does.
But also for people who go to a laundromat, like when I wash my linens, I'll go to the laundromat. And the people who wash their laundry at the laundromat will use like heavily scented like Tide or like Downy. And I don't use scented detergents. Yeah. But my linens still come out smelling like Tide because someone else in the machine before me used it.
Yeah.
So I was like, you can't win.
You can't win. I actually,
it's like scent pollution.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
I did my jeans in the same load as I did all of my shirts, but I forgot to rewash the jeans. And then I went out last night and it's all I could smell. And I was like, my knees smell like flowers. I was so mad. I'm not wearing them right now because I'm in my little coochie cutters, but yeah, it was not for me. Anyway, don't do detergent. Thanks.
I promise.
Meanwhile, that product character is about to explode. Meanwhile.
I take my Elysium detergent notebook and throw it in a fire.
Exactly. Do it and I will promote it. Just don't send it to me.
I promise I won't.
Amazing. Courtney, this is so fun. I love that we all have this common starting point in our careers. And I think that it has led us all to really different and interesting present day careers. But I love your origin story, how it mirrors ours, but then took you in such a cool direction. And I told Sable, I just love that you fucking had this idea and then you did it. That is so powerful to me.
People have ideas and do them.
Well, and I'm sitting across from one that did the same thing. You wrote a book and you did a fucking fragrance. You know what I mean? Like, what am I doing? Damn.
So I was thinking about this today, or all week rather, because I'm like, what am I doing with my life? But I feel like people put so much effort into what they look like. What can they project about themselves and their lifestyles and, you know, who they are, what their value is. But no one just does things. Mm-hmm. Like so few people just do things and then they're like, yeah, I did a thing and here it is. Cool. Mm-hmm. It's always about what it looks like and like how it appears. So when I see people who just have ideas and do them, I'm like, that's fucking cool.
It is.
I don't give a shit like what your, I don't know, TikTok marketing strategy is, but the thing that you did is cool.
Exactly. And honestly, I don't know. Courtney, what you did and the way that you did it and how it looks, I feel like it transcends the TikTok marketing and whatever. We know that you're a person and not L'Oreal, but and different things come with each of those, but it does speak to people in its own way and sell itself to a point. You don't have to play the game. There's nothing worse than seeing someone do their own thing, but then trying to move like an Estee Lauder. It's like, put the phone down. No, I'm just being a hater.
Thank you.
Of course.
No, I mean, I totally agree with you guys. And also, Sable, I downloaded your book on my Kindle.
Oh my gosh.
I can't wait to read it.
Period.
Yeah, I started the first essay. You're just such a good writer. And I'm really excited to just, I want to know how you think about things. So I'm happy that I get to read that. But yeah, I like making something. I think it helps if you detach yourself from whether it's good or not. And whenever someone tries too hard to make everybody like something, it sucks and ends up being just like everything else. Right. I feel like making this, I was like, it's okay if this doesn't do well or if people don't like it. I'm really not attached to that. I just hope that some people like it and have fun. And whoever really loves perfume finds this. And there's nothing better than finding a perfume that you really love and being obsessed with it. Like when you first get it. Totally. I just want someone to have that feeling. And then they can forget about it.
You sold out of it though, right?
Yeah, I sold out of the first batch.
Hell yeah. People certainly like it.
Yeah.
Problem solved.
Yeah, thanks. I'm going to restock on Monday. By the time this podcast comes out, I'll be restocked. But right. I really wasn't expecting it to sell out. So the first batch was really small. I didn't think anybody would buy it.
Amazing.
So I'm really happy people like it.
Hell yeah.
Nice.
Well, tell people where they can find Elysium Attachment Oil.
You can find Attachment Oil on elysium.world. not .com, .world. And you can also find Glass Altars there and follow Elysium on Instagram at Elysium.
Incredible. Amazing.
Thank you so much for joining us. This is such a fun conversation and we're so happy to have you, and you're welcome back anytime.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And thank you so much for smelling the perfume and for liking it. I really wasn't expecting to be on an episode. I was so excited. I just wanted you guys to smell it and like it. So this was so exciting. Thank you for having me.
Oh my God. Anytime.
Dude, of course.
Yeah. I'm so inspired by that.
I know. It makes me want to make another perfume, even though I know crazy it was the first time. But
I think, well,
I honestly did think about doing an addendum to the Die Hot with a Vengeance scent in a perfume oil roll on. But then I was like, let me sell out of the fucking EDPs first, maybe, before I fucking...
We did just have a half hour conversation about another perfume idea that we'll not be pursuing. So more to come on that later.
More to come.
Shout out to us.
Shout out to our ideas.
But I think, though, that having two of us in the weeds with it, it'll be less crazy. And having you having done it once is going to give us, like, you know, the unlock.
Yeah. But I don't know. Like I said, it's fucking cool when people do cool shit, when they have a cool idea and they see it through. Shout out to making things.
Honestly. Yeah, I don't know.
I was thinking, like, when Courtney was talking about that, just doing a cool thing and wanting to see it through, not being like, I'm going to create a brand and sell out, but just being like, can I do this? Mm-hmm. And then thinking back to our conversation with Richard from Flamingo Estate and him saying, like, all of the greats just say, put down your phone and fucking do something with your hands.
Right.
Like, I think that's the move, you guys. I think we got to start doing shit with our hands.
Well, even attachment oil aside, how she was talking about, I just couldn't see myself going back to New York. So I moved to Paris. And I don't know if I just lack that sort of foresight like, you want to do something, so do it. I mean, a perfume that I understand doing, and that's not out of my realm, but moving to Paris because I want to, no. I'm sorry.
Moving to Paris when you don't speak the language and there isn't something necessarily
there,
anchoring you there.
Right.
Very brave.
Yeah. I don't know if I lack the vision but.
Yeah. Paris would not have been my choice. I probably would have picked somewhere like Australia, but like, I mean, you know me, but...
Not touching that one.
Mostly I'm just like, well, it's like a similar enough culture. You can speak the language. It's just no Trump there.
Women's rights.
Better food, quality of life.
Abortions.
If I wanted one, I could have one.
Same.
I could have several. Who knows? Also, just like the nature of it all.
Yeah.
I want to be near water. I don't think I could live somewhere that was landlocked is the thing. I need to be near water. I say this now as like the sea levels are rising. But
well, we're all going to be near water.
Yeah, but that's, I think just because I grew up near beaches, I was like, it's unfathomable to me to not be able to go to the coast.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's really, I think it's fucking cool to just move somewhere because you're like, cool, and just immerse yourself in the culture and language and all that. But it does invalidate my beef that Emily could have fucking picked up French by now, four seasons later. Girl, come on. And now they're going to Italy and she's not going to learn Italian either.
No.
The cheek on this girl.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just like very inspired by Courtney. And then like we just had a conversation about doing something ourselves. And I'm like,
to people who do things and hearing the process and not necessarily the little headaches and nuances of it, but just the satisfaction of having done it is very inspiring to me.
I was talking to a photographer this week and he said something that I felt very profound, but it was over text and I was very busy. So I'm only remembering it right now. Okay. He said, the obstacles become the path.
Oh,
and I was
shit.
Like, whoa.
The obstacles become the path.
Yeah. Like the little headaches are part of it.
That's real.
I know.
My daily The Universe Talks email. It's like this one kooky guy who just emails you every day. It's like a message from the universe and they're usually pretty kooky. And there was one that said the places where you find discomfort are the most fertile place for you to grow. And I was like, that's real. But also, I'm not going there yet. But also, yes,
that's
you're right.
Real for someone else.
And I was like, that's real for everyone but me. But like, thank you. But yeah, that kind of is in tandem with the obstacle is the path.
Yeah.
Ugh, I hate obstacles. No.
Well. Luckily, there's no obstacle between you following us on Instagram at smellyoulater.mp3.
Very smooth.
Going to our website, leaving us a voice note.
Please leave
it. Checking out our gorgeous soft merch. It is almost sweatshirt season again, and our t-shirts are cute, but our sweatshirts are so comfortable.
We're thinking of doing another sweatshirt note. We're thinking of it.
But we're also thinking about doing something a little bigger than that, too. Yeah. But more to come on that.
More to come.
What did I forget?
I think you just didn't say what the website was.
I don't know what the website is.
It's smellyoulater.live. Leave us a voicemail. I really enjoy them. They're so cute. We really appreciate them. And we'd love to do more listener questions on air. You can find me at Sailtastic on Instagram.
Depends on what your question is. You can find me at Dan Buck. And until next time, we will.
We will.
Smell you later.